Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
A man wide open. Touchdown.
Touchdown for Jacksonville.
Touchdown, Jags!
You're listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
What's up, y'all? It's JK3.
I kind of wish everybody was listening before we got started because we were really starting to get in the thick of it of, you know, our angst and anger and all the different emotions that I think after that 40-14 defeat in Detroit, that the emotions that that's brought on. So how are you guys feeling at this point after all the optimism from last week?
They did it to us again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, man, it's just... When this team has to go in and they have their back against the wall to win a game and then really change the narrative on who they are, they show up and remain who they are. Like, it sucks. It really does suck, man, when you have, you know, a team like Detroit. And I think I told you, Corey, what did I tell you last week? I told you this is not your dad's Detroit Lions. This team can score. They can score at will. They're decent, but I thought that our defense was going to at least show up, man. And it was one of those games again where, like, they were just so wide open. Every play, somebody was wide open. Somebody was trailing. So frustrating, man.
I have no comments.
You got to have some.
I got nothing.
Oh, okay, Marshawn.
Look, I got nothing. Look. I have nothing, and here's the reason why I have nothing, because that was pathetic. Okay, I know I said this, you know, I said it in recording, oh, well, most people would think this would be an easy game, but this would be a game where we should compete, hence the word compete. We couldn't even do that. We let Jared Goff put up a 40 burger on us. Jared Goff. And then, you know, we were talking about some of the GM stuff earlier. There was a lot of people here, a lot of fans out there, a lot of social media people were thinking that, okay, maybe Balky's going to turn the corner. I was one of the ones that said, no, absolutely not. I still think he's a fraud. I still think he still is. Okay, he's got to go. All right, he has to go for a number of reasons. One, almost getting our quarterback's knee decapitated playing around with this left tackle. And there are 32 teams in the National Football League. And anytime new regimes come or new coaches come and they want to kind of start over, they clean house. This is Khan's second time with a chance to clean house, and he didn't do it at all. He always holds on to a little lagging piece. And it ends up, you know, we end up trending in the same direction. Now, are we better than last year? Of course we are. But I see a lot of mistakes that could have been avoided if he had just cleaned house. Maybe we're not 4-8. Maybe we're 5-7. You know? Or 6-6. Who knows? My point is, we just keep shooting ourselves on the foot, on the field and off the field. And we definitely did it last week on the field. And we're probably going to do it off the field in the offseason. Who knows? But that's just the end of my rant for that. Just let's move on to the Titans game. That Detroit game was so pitiful and pathetic, it wasn't even funny.
How far did your jaw drop when Trevor got bent over backwards? And
I sent a text. What's our go-to lately? Welp.
With a capital L? Yep.
Oh, Welp.
That's usually post-game. But,
yeah. When that happened, man, that was just like the cherry on top of a bad game. And I don't know about y'all, but it just kind of seems I can really sort of tell, and maybe this is just me just being thinking that I know what I'm talking about, but I feel like within the first drive on a lot of the games, maybe first, second drive, you can kind of feel like what team's going to show up. And I just felt like with that ETN fumble and then Detroit coming back and just scoring right then, right after that, it's just like, all right, here we go. And then, I mean, for them to score almost every time they had the ball is just ridiculous, man. And then this is like the second highest paid defense in the NFL. And like you can't stop the Lions. Ah, man, it was tough, dude. Tough game. Tough Sunday.
Would you guys have put Trevor back in the way that they, I mean, I know he ran around and was passing and all that stuff. He seemed fine. But, I mean, you saw today, I guess, that he was on the injury report or missed practice or something. So, was that a mistake, you think, putting him back in there? Or what would you have done in that situation?
I mean, technically the game was still in reach. But, you know, depending upon whatever came back with that quick x-ray they did, an examination, how much of the painkillers they shot him up with and how much of that was numb. It just really depends. I mean, you know his mentality. He's going to want to go back in.
It was still within reach, possession-wise. And I think that you kind of keep him in to show that, you know, to give a spark and see, hopefully, you know, somebody decides to say, all right, man, we almost lost him. He's back. He's showing up, maybe to get a spark. But, I mean, at that point when Doug pulled him, it was it. You know, the game was it was way beneath them. And, yeah, you just don't want to keep anybody out. I thought it was kind of weird, though, that he went back in. But a couple weeks ago when ETN, you know, had something a little bit like a little scare, they kept him out precautionary. So I thought it was weird that they marched Trevor out. But I see why they did it. But, you know, he still ended up coming out towards the end of the game, and letting Beathard get some of those touches.
Well, I guess there's no point in, I think you already said, Derek, just kind of rehashing anything from that game at this point or being a dead horse. So
everybody except for Aluakon, everybody on defense is expendable.
I like Muma. Everybody. I like Muma. You don't like Muma?
Man, he got put out of position so bad on a few plays. Now I get it. Muma's, he's a rookie. Decent? Muma is subpar decent.
Subpar decent? Like, what do you mean subpar decent? Like, if you were to give him a grade, not from that
four game, out of ten.
That's below subpar.
Subpar decent. That's it. No, par is even. So let's go five. Yeah, no. Four and a half. No. The rookies, they get a break. I mean, no, not even. Let's start with that.
Just don't give him a break. He's decent.
They're just. They get put out of position. The coverages are bad. Anytime they drop with any kind of depth on their zone, they dropped. It was like a third and six, and the zone was back from the middle linebackers on the zone was dropped back 8 yards, and they only had to get six. Tell me why. Why was your depth your drop so low? Were you thinking you were going to be able to read and react and recover those 2 yards or 3 yards to stop them before they got to the first down marker? And it wasn't just a one time like it was a slip. It happened time and time again. It didn't matter what coverage they were in. They tried to run a couple of roll coverages. That didn't work. They tried man. We know that doesn't work. Okay. I just don't get why some of the scheme, some of the play calls, and then forget thinking you have capable pass rushers to rush the passer, because you don't. They're somewhere. All the hype we had in the preseason, remember that Oakland game? Oh, man, look, they're going to, both of them, 10 sacks apiece. I don't think they have 5 combined.
Wow.
Think about that. And Aiden Hutchinson over here is getting sacks. Oh, but, you know, this guy went to Georgia, SEC. No. Doesn't matter. Forget all that. We just needed a guy that could rush the passer. I could care less where he's from. And we don't have that. He needs to take some judo lessons. Because, you know, judo, that's hand-to-hand stuff. He needs to learn some moves. Because he didn't have them. You can't bull rush everybody. You might be strong as an ox, but this is why they call it the National Football League. So is everybody else.
Yeah, I saw that. Or I was listening to, you know, a couple of the guys around, you know, local media. And they were talking about how the Jags are one of the only teams, or one of the teams that will draft someone out of their position and put them in, draft them from their position that they played in college and excel that, and then try to make them into something that they're not.
Miles Jack, Devin Lloyd, Trayvon Walker. It's not even funny at this point anymore. I think Aiden Hutchinson's got like 5.5 or 6.5 sacks. I would take that all day from a rookie. He might end up with 10 this season. He could end up with 10 sacks. Oh, 10 sacks, you know. Joey Bosa's got 14 through 11 games. But, you know, we don't have Joey Bosa. Okay.
It's ridiculous how much of the drop-off has been for the defensive line. And the defense over the last, you know, over the last, like, from like week 3, 4 to now. It's just, it's ridiculous, man.
The point of attack is gone. Like, when the ball snapped and the point of attack, the read and react, you know what that tells me? It's not just the players, it's the scheme. They go hand in hand, so you can't put all the blame on one or the other. But it's both of them. The scheme is wrong. Because I think the scheme is based off of being able to put pressure with 4. If you can't do that, then, you know, if you need to blitz 5, then put Devin Lloyd back in and let him do what he does best. Put him on the edge, and maybe you might get a hurry. Do we even get hurries?
I think we've had some. Trayvon has had like 4.
Okay, so let's take a step back from sacks. Forget sacks.
They're not getting any of that. When there's a pass rush, it literally looks like they are coming off of the ball and pushing a sled that is going nowhere. They're not getting any pressure. They're not getting anything, and it literally looks like a bunch of just people on the on the defensive line just pushing as hard as they can and not using any movements to get around or anything else like that. That's exactly what it looks like. I mean, when you watch the defensive lineman and you watch, you know, the games, you automatically are fixated on the offensive line and defensive line to see if there's going to be a sack. And then once you kind of actually see that, the camera angles, by that time you see the quarterback's not getting touched. And then the ball's gone out of his hands, and then it's downfield. So there's like 0 pressure coming from that front 4, or at all. Like literally none. 0. They look like they're pushing a brick wall and not getting through at all. And I think that's what's creating a lot of the separation and a lot of the coverage issues, because, you know, like,
they're just, you can't cover for five seconds.
You can't cover for 5 seconds. Like, you literally can't. And then on top of that, it's like, so they decide to run a zone, and then no one's following their zone, and it's like the ball that's being thrown is perfectly in between the zones, and someone's either chasing or coming up to it. It's just, it's pitiful, man. Like, that game was just absolutely pitiful. And then on top of that, man, to even, like, put the cherry on top, we go into Nashville, on Sunday, a place that we haven't won in 10 years.
Is that like,
how crazy is that? Yeah, they haven't won. They haven't, well, nine. They haven't won. They haven't beat the, they haven't won in Nashville since 2013.
Wow, that's terrible. Well, you know, from a talent standpoint, there's a new GM available to sign in the offseason, John Robinson. I don't know if he's good or not, but the Titans just fired him. So,
Boggy, just leave, okay? Just leave. Give him the keys to your house, the keys to your car, your parking spot down at the stadium, your office. Leave all the stuff at your office there because you should never be a GM again, okay? And then, Shad, you go get the guy that the Titans just fired. You bring him in. All right, we'll take three division champions. The only thing is he can't make any trades on draft day, okay, because the A.J. Brown thing still scratching our heads with that.
And A.J. Brown killed them on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, he can't make any trades on draft day. Besides that, he's got full range to the team, whatever you want to do, okay? Do that.
Did you see that clip, by the way, from the draft, I guess, where it's like Mike Vrabel and the Robinson, the GM, makes the trade, and like Vrabel like stands up and gets all upset and stuff. Have you seen that?
I would have knocked him out.
Yeah. So they're like saying that that's like legitimately the reason he got fired is because of that game that that they just had against him. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Seems kind of petty, but whatever.
It's crazy that he gets fired and they've had a lock on the division for you know, for the last three seasons. And
we would love this type of performance.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. And then, like, his job isn't safe, but Balky is he's there. He's bulletproof Balky. Like, there's nothing that can happen for him, for this guy to lose his job. And like Derek said in the beginning, you know, the continuity of keeping a piece of fungus from the previous regime, and then it just continues to spread.
Wow. I wish I could clap louder right now.
That's what it is, dude.
He is fungus, okay? That if that isn't the best description, man, forget everybody else, all the writers, media. Mark it here first on this episode. JK3 has the perfect example of what Balky is, a piece of fungus. Okay, he is.
Don't attach my name to that because eventually when we get our press passes, he's probably going to ask me about it.
I said that. I remember in episode 207, you called me a fungus.
And you're going to say, yeah, I got lights off for your ass. Yeah. I got some bleach for your ass.
That's also the worst impersonation I've ever heard in my life. Sound like a Sesame Street character.
That was kind of like Oscar the Grouchus / Sherman Klumpish.
Yeah, oh, but I get where you're going with that though. So, okay. Well, so we're just gonna get whooped on Sunday. Is that the prediction?
It's so bad that like you know it's so hard to talk about. It's so difficult to talk about because when you look at the Tennessee Titans when you look at them on paper, bro, it's like Robert Woods. You've got Tannehill, Austin Hooper, Derrick Henry, obviously, and it's like you want to give yourself a hope and give yourself a shot, but this team got Swiss cheesed up by Matt Ryan, a couple weeks ago. Just got Swiss cheesed up by Jared Goff and St. Brown. I mean, like, where do you draw the line of between optimism and then just straight up like insanity? Like, I feel like I'm on that line right now of just being insane by thinking this team can actually put together a decent, you know, showing after what they just after the crap they just laid on the field on Sunday against a team who has their number not just in Nashville but has their number like historically. Derrick Henry averages like 400 yards a game against the Jags. So, I mean, it's like...
I don't think that's accurate.
Like,
I'll tell you this,
what
though.
What do you do, man?
He hasn't done much of anything lately.
Gearing up for this game. He's been gearing up for Sunday.
Is he saving himself?
That's why.
Like, all right, here comes a little brother.
That's why. That's why they're going to use this as a bounce back game, and it's pitiful, man. It sucks. It sucks having this conversation. And if the Jags, I mean, and again, I keep saying this if, and we keep talking about this if stuff. If they would have won on Sunday, imagine the conversation and imagine the buzz that would have been happening, you know, leading up against this game right now. The Titans did what they needed to do. They lost to the Eagles on Sunday. You know, they held their end of the bargain up. And now here it is, we, you know, go out there and lay down and lose, you know, to the Lions. And now it's just a completely we're not mathematically eliminated, but I mean it's just so hard to even get yourself geared up for a game, especially when you start thinking of the different outcomes and what it could have led to. And I guarantee you, Sunday, no, I don't want to say guarantee you, on Sunday, I mean, I'm not surprised if they run an inside ISO or inside, you know, draw to Derrick Henry 48 times and they score on every one of them.
They're going to do some play action to Austin Hooper on a couple of those.
That we can't cover a tight end. Yeah, we can't cover a tight end to save our life.
The linebackers will get pushed way out of position. There's going to be this gap that opens up. Ryan Tannehill is going to look like an all-pro quarterback. I always look at the fantasy stats when they show like the leaders of passing yards and passing touchdowns, you know, as, the 4 o'clock games roll in and the 1 o'clock games are over. And, I'm just picturing myself seeing Ryan Tannehill like 380 yards and 3 touchdowns in like the top 5. Okay, so usually you never see him up there. But when they play the Jags, it's like you get Mahomes, Burrow,
Tannehill.
Carr, and Tannehill. You're going to be like, Tannehill? Rip? That's just what it's going to be, man.
It's sad.
That's just what it's going to be.
The narrative hasn't changed. I mean, it really hasn't. And then, like, another thing, too. They haven't been destroyed, you know, all season up until now. I think their largest margin of loss. I don't even know if that sounds. I don't even know if that's correct. But against Kansas City, they lost by 10. Against Kansas City, this team had like 6 turnovers against Philly, and only lost by 8. Like 6 turnovers against Philly, and you only lose by 8 against the best team in the NFL record wise. And then you go to Detroit and just absolutely just don't even show up. So like, what are you gonna get on? Like, it's so like, what are people doing to get hyped up about this game on Sunday? Like, what is anybody doing? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, are you just gonna show up and just watch it and just be like, all right, I'm tuning in to this ass whooping, or is it just like, what's gonna happen?
I think you just said it. That's exactly what I'm gonna do. Tune in to this whooping, and then you know it's gonna be all over with. I mean, ain't nothing to it, you know. I don't think we have any other any kind of, you know, option.
I hate it, because, man.
And then what's even crazier too is like the Titans have guys on the team that can play. Okay, there's no doubt about that.
It's the NFL. Everybody's got guys on their team that can play.
But you know what I mean? Like they're division leader, you know, for a reason. But when they play us, it makes it seem like they got like 7 Pro Bowlers or 8 of them. You know, they might have, you know, 2 or 3, but then we just make them look so much better. Let's just stay disciplined or something. Make it a game. And another thing, too, when I look at some of the inconsistency, how many drops did Zay Jones have
last week? Oh, my gosh, bro.
5, 6, 7?
Oh, my gosh,
bro. I saw a meme. Someone put the LeBron counting how many rings he was going to get in Miami drops that Zay Jones was having.
Not only Zay Jones, but the entire receiving corps, man. It's just drops after drops after drops. And it's like, dude, like how do you expect the drops that were coming were like drive killers.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were just at the worst time, dude, just absolute drive killers. That touchdown that Zay Jones dropped when he walks into the end zone, pretty much there, after the ETN fumble, it's a drive killer. ETN fumble, drive killer. like they were, and they were moving the ball pretty well. So you can call that a touchdown, you know, a touchdown drive ending drive. And then Zay Jones goes into, literally catches the ball. All he has to do is turn, walk into the end zone. I mean, if they convert on those and continue to, you know, do their job, going into halftime, you're into a shootout. You're only down by, what, a score? And then you still got the entire second half.
Yeah.
Before we all have a heart attack and crap ourselves when he get when we think his, we think Trevor's severely injured for the rest of the year.
Do you, let me ask you this. Do you two think that, and we obviously don't know this, and I doubt that the team would ever admit this, but do you think that the coaches let up a little bit after that Baltimore game? Because, and what I mean by that is, if you look at the way Detroit came out, hungry, angry, they caught everything. I don't think they had a turnover at all. Their punter didn't even come on the field. Think about that. So that also, when I look at when you get beat that bad in the NFL, I also look at the approach mentally that the coaches, the environment the coaches have set before the game. Do you think that that could have, I mean, we know it could play a factor, but.
I would hope not. I mean, considering like all the talk was that we were in the hunt at that point, you know what I mean? That would be terrible.
But then if we were in the hunt, then how come we weren't prepared?
I don't know. Good question.
we weren't prepared at all. I mean, gosh, it was, you know, both Detroit running backs too, right up the middle. They weren't even trying to hide what kind of running plays they were doing. I think the announcer was like, "Yep, they're gonna go belly off the B gap. They're going again. Up, oh, they're going again, and we're right same hole." And we're sitting there like, "Are we gonna block today or what? Or, you know, are we gonna tackle or what?"
I don't think the coaches, you know, let up because of all the Jags content that I consumed over the week. They were all saying that it was basically like, you know, it was a big game. You know, time for us to turn the, you know, change the narrative and, you know, do all this other stuff. And then, you know, then that happens.
And then don't do it.
Yeah, and then you don't do it. And I just don't get it, man.
Okay,
I don't get it. I really don't.
Just it was just a question. I just trying to make sense of, you know, that train wreck. But you know, this speeding train we got here coming. If they don't, and I'm not saying anything, I'm not making any predictions, but I'll say this:
you got to at least make one.
If they don't score early. Like, this can't be one of those games where it drags out 10-3 or 10-10 or 7, you know, 7-6, you know, going into like the second half. They got to score early and often and jump on them quickly if they can remember, you know, how to do that. If they don't, and I'm not, if they don't do that and they just make this a low scoring game, like even into the like high teens, early 20s, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Tennessee will grind it out.
Yeah, they got to jump on them quickly.
They'll grind it out. I think, and I agree with you. They, in order for, God, so I hate even just saying it, but in order for them to be competitive and to win this game, they have got to outrun Tennessee, and they have got to make Tennessee do things they don't want to do. They don't want to throw the ball. They don't have talent to throw the ball. Robert Woods. I mean, he's good, but I mean, it's not like he's not like they traded their talent away in the offseason with AJ Brown, you know. So it's just like they are a team built to grind out, team built to absolutely kill you with the run. You know, Austin Hooper is a very good tight end, you know, so they will, you know, go to him often, you know, as well. But again, the only way that you beat them is to keep Derrick Henry, you know, off the field. One. And then on top of that, number two, you got to just score. You got to keep scoring. You have to get out. You have to throw the ball. You cannot go away. If anything, this is where Doug unleashes the high-powered offense. Now, this is where you open up the playbook. This is where you get out and just You know, run ETN, play action. You know, Marvin Jones, catch the ball, please. You know, then you come out again, give me like an out route or give me a post or something like that to Zay Jones. Catch the ball, please. Give the ball to ETN. Another first. Continue to march down the field. Continue to do. Get Evan Engram involved. You know, he was missing last game. That was one of the, you know, one of the pieces that he had a couple plays while we were watching, when I was watching the All 22 film, that he was streaking downfield a couple times, and you know that was a Trevor miss. Whatever, they have got. I mean, bro, they just got to win, and I don't know if they're going to win, but they have. Something's got to change, man. Something has to change. They have to change, man. It's awful.
Well, if it gets too bad, I don't know if you guys saw, but the XFL had their uniform reveals today, so maybe we can become Orlando
Guardians. Stop.
What do you think?
We'll change the name to Down by iDrive.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe we'll get relegated to the XFL. Maybe they can do that kind of thing.
If the NFL really wanted to be interesting, that's what they would do. That would be great. Kind of like how soccer is. That would be awesome. That would be so awesome. I mean, it wouldn't be awesome for us.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It actually sounds awesome for the Jags.
It wouldn't be awesome for the Jags, but just having that relegation rule, you know, that would be pretty cool.
All right.
And then another thing too, man, they took this game. This game used to be on Thursday night. This used to, like, the Titans and the Jags used to play on Thursday night all the time. I'm kind of disappointed that we got to play New York.
It's because the game after the Cowboys is on Thursday night.
They're trying to get them Jaguar games expedited. Get them out of the way.
Yeah.
Our game's on at like 1 a.m. after some like infomercials on. C-SPAN 11 or something.
Willie Mays and Flex Seal. Oh, shit. Now that's what I call Music 48.
Yeah. Against the Jets. The game that was supposed to be the first, the top two picks, and the Zach Wilson won't even probably be dressed for that game. Who knows?
Jaguars football brought to you by Doc Tony.
Yeah. And then watch, we go up and play the Jets, and James Robinson, who hasn't really done anything for them all year, will probably get 20 carries and have a career day against us.
Definitely. Those are the types of predictions we need to start making.
Yeah.
The other ones haven't panned out. Yeah. It is so crazy, though, that literally, I mean, this feels like it's the same thing every season, because literally last week we were psyched about beating the Ravens, and it's like a week later and it's the complete opposite of how we felt before. And it's like these games that we shouldn't win, we sometimes win, and then these games that we should definitely win, we never win, ever.
You got to string together some wins, and I think this was a great time. This was really a good time for them to show that the defense and the team and the offense and the team in general, coaching staff, was ready to make that leap and ready to move forward. Because I mean, you beat a tough team in Baltimore, and then you go on the road to an up and coming team like Detroit, and then you have your arch rival on the road. And then you come back and you play, you know, a powerhouse in the Cowboys. It had the recipe for going on a perfect run, honestly. And now, you know, we're just salvaging, not mathematically eliminated yet, but a lot of crazy stuff has to happen in order for them to turn it around or to even be relevant. But
yeah, I think we have to get that out of our heads at this point. I think that's kind of like probably done, right?
What are you talking about? Just our stand and our record and what we can do?
Any chance of making the playoffs? I mean, I know there's like mathematically you can do it if XYZ happens, but
yeah. Well, they still play the Titans twice, so there's weirder things can happen. I mean, look at like the NFC South, for instance. Mm-hmm. I think the Bucks just cracked 500. I think everybody was below 500 for weeks. So weird things can happen.
I guess that's true. That is a good optimistic way to look at it.
That's the only optimist. That's the only thing I'm bringing because I think we're going to get curb stomped. But anyway, yeah, that's stop Derrick Henry, and we'll see what happens from there. Big words, like big phrase.
Same strategy that we've talked about like for like a billion seasons in a row. Okay. So, all right. Well, there you go. That's just such a weird change of pace week over week, but that's life as a Jaguars fan, I guess. So we'll cut it there. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to leave us a rating and review. Subscribe so you can see the new episodes. And you can also catch us on Spotify and Google Podcasts as well. And once again, we're affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Talk to you next time.